Today, my special guest is Ruby Ruiz. I just finished taking her yoga class. It was pretty intense overall, but I really enjoyed it. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. I'm excited and nervous a little bit.
Don't be nervous. It's just like having a conversation. I wanted to find out how you got started into yoga. And also, as a little kid, were you active? Was that something big in growing up?
Basically, yes. I've been active my whole life. How I started doing yoga was actually by getting together with the community of Wilmington. We were not this location. We were in another location. And I got invited to do some kind of like farming, like just, you know, horticulture where you can go and grow your vegetables. I would bring my kids over. I wasn't working at the time. I was just a stay-home mom. My kids were little. And somebody mentioned that they had yoga in the community. And it was free, that I can take any classes. So I was like, you know what? Maybe that will be something that I want to do. I did. I joined their class. And then they noticed that I had a potential of becoming like a teacher. So they offered me a scholarship and I went for it. And then years after, I'm here. It's been a long journey, but for the most part, it's been rewarding. Very, very, very knowledgeable with it becomes to knowing about the community. And I'm not a, like, I feel like I don't know much, but then the more I see people trying to do yoga, then you start learning about you know, the methods that they can actually do, where it becomes not so technical but very easy, and then just kind of know their bodies and pay attention to what they can do, not do, so they don't hurt themselves. But for the most part, I became a yoga teacher in, I'm going to say, 2010. Okay. That's when I started.
So you've been practicing for quite some time. And how long would you say you've been an actual instructor then?
Yeah, about there.
Oh, this, oh, okay.
Yeah, about there. 2000, right after, I think it was just like a year or so when they saw that, you know, she can, because I was basically bilingual, right? So a lot of teachers you would just get, we would get a lot of teachers just speak English. And a lot of people were like, we couldn't understand that. A lot of them in our community are, you know, only Spanish speaking, but we do get, you know, some people that are only also English, so it would have to be kind of like a bullying thing. Yeah.
And what about when you were a kid? Were you active? Was that?
I've always been active. I tend to have a little bit of ADHD.
Okay.
You know, I can't stay still.
So, did your parents encourage you to do sports? Did they put you in sports?
Not really. They would just. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I was very clumsy as a kid. Super clumsy. So, I was always falling. I like to do a lot of like climbing. Just, I wasn't good at sports until I became older. Then I noticed, you know, I want to run. I want to do physical exercise. So now I really became very, very active after I had my kids, really.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting, especially after you gave birth, and that's when you wanted to become more active.
Yeah. Actually, my first son, I had him in 2008, and I wanted to do a marathon. And then I'm like, oh, this is not going to happen. How, no sleep, nothing. And then later, then I realized, you know what? I am going to do it. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. I want to push myself out there. And I did. And I did it later, but then I became more active as I had my children. I was always active. I was at the gym. I was doing my thing, but not like in this level, you know? It's been different.
We are coming to you live from Wilmington, California. Wilmington is one of the places where you teach. Right now, yes. You're teaching yoga in how many different locations around LA?
So Long Beach and just Wilmington now.
And both the places that you teach, is it community-based?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this is a community garden. When you watch the replay, you'll see the edits in there. It's very nice in here. From what you were telling me, people can rent.
Yes.
Rent a little space, and then what do? It's like their little garden when they don't have a backyard or
yes,
something.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of people don't have big places to where they can grow their vegetables or become a part of, you know, a community like this. They come along, they plant, and then whatever's in season. And it's nice because they rent, like, it's like, it's super convenient. It's like $10 per month, I believe. So it's just based on your income, whatever you can do with the vegetables. You can take them home, cook them, or even give them here. It's really warming to see that there is something going on and you know, that they can recruit, they can come here and then just pass our time doing.
When and why did they decide to add yoga?
A lot of the people that come to the community, basically everybody has trauma, right? And they notice that yoga can help with trauma. And they notice also that they need time to settle down, kind of unwind. And I don't know if you were noticing when we were finishing the class, we had that moment where you just lay down mm-hmm. and relax. That's basically the most important part of yoga. That's called Savasana. So it's a course pose where you can just relax, take a deep breath, and just notice your body there, just laying down. It's also part of a meditation. No matter what yoga you do, because there's all kinds of yoga, the last pose is one of the most important poses. So it's basically like the cherry on top of the cake where you can just, and that one makes it like, oh, this is relaxing, you know, or it depends. I mean, some people like to meditate during yoga too, which we'll do like sometimes in the beginning. If I see everybody so hyper, then let's settle down for a little bit and let's do our meditation. Why they incorporate it is because they notice a lot of people have traumas in the community. So they notice that when they were doing these classes, they had the feedback. Oh, this is working. I feel good doing it. I feel more relaxed. My body's, it feels less heavier. And it does work. I mean, I can't live without yoga, honestly. I have to do it. Like, I'm doing it almost every day. The only day that I don't do it, it would be Sundays. And even then, I'm like, okay, I need it.
I'm going to speak on behalf of a lot of guys. Maybe not all agree, but I think a lot of us feel that we need yoga. Mm-hmm. We know we need to stretch. We don't stretch on our own. Mm-hmm. Yoga is a good way to do it. But you feel like a couple of times during the class, I felt like, man, I feel like an idiot. I feel uncomfortable. You feel like this should be easy. And it's kind of funny because as guys, I think most of them are into like weightlifting a lot.
Right.
So it's okay to feel uncomfortable and mm-hmm. odd lifting something heavy or something but you don't want to feel that way when it comes to something without, it's just body weight or right. some, I don't know if it's the ego thing. Because I've done it so many times now, I'm kind of just used to, that's the feeling that you're going to get. Some mm-hmm. points you're going to feel, and then other points now, because of other workouts, I feel a little bit more flexible. And so some things are easier than others, but I just know that's part of the process. But I think that holds back a lot of guys from trying yoga.
Right. Yes. And guys usually are more tighter, especially if they're doing a lot of heavy lifting. They tend to be very, very tight around the hips. Mm-hmm. And you notice that a lot of them feel, I can have that sense of like, oh, like she's coming at me. And I'm a little aggressive. I'm like, I try not to be so aggressive with new people, but then I'm like, this is how I am. I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't try to be like to push you, but like, let's try to fix your pose or let's see where you're at so I can help you to get there. And the more you do it, it will definitely, you know, but it is kind of like, I notice that it could be ego-based, but most likely it's more, like I want to do this, so I don't want them to tell me how to do it or just that they're not used to doing that type of stretches, you know, like the stretches are sometimes awkward
and
very awkward
and painful
and painful
and aggressive.
Yeah. And you can tell when the person is feeling it, because they do tend to sweat a lot, and that's when you know it's working.
Oh yeah.
when it's sweaty, when you're sweating, when you feel that pull. And I always tell them, what kind of pain are you feeling? Like the pain that is kind of like, I can't anymore, I'm done, then that's bad. We have to stop and figure it out and take a deep breath. But if it's a pain that I'm liking it, I can take it. Let's see. That's a good pain. You know, there's two types of pain. I figured there's one that is like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to be able to do this.
Right.
You know, it's just too much for me. And, you know, it starts then. Yeah. Then stop. Let's figure something out because we don't want to hurt you. We want to make sure it helps you. And when you're tight, your body can get more hurt. You know, when you're like tight, when your body's tight, you feel that like you don't feel like I can move this direction. You know, you don't have the range of mobility.
I agree with you, but I was always been a tight person. Mm-hmm. So as I was growing and training, mm-hmm. a lot of instructors would be like, you're tight. You're so tense. You're so yeah. tight. And I'd be like, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that because I had never, or maybe since a child, I forgot mm-hmm. what it's like to be loose. And so some of the poses that I was doing today, it hurt, but it kind of felt more like I was activating certain muscles that I haven't used in a while, but it wasn't because I don't believe in the no pain, no gain. I do believe if something hurts,
yes,
regress, do something else, build that strength. But there is a certain type of pain that you have to, it's just burn. It's
right.
Otherwise you're not working out basically. So right. you have to learn the difference between both of those.
Yes.
And one stretch that I got really into, and then I found out, it's a yoga pose. It's called the couch stretch. And okay. in yoga, they call it the King Arthur pose. Mm-hmm. What do you know about that? I did a whole show on that because it's really the same one. And there's like two origin stories. And I couldn't go so far to figure out why it's called the King Arthur pose. Is there anything to do with the king?
Well, all these poses are based on, the names are based in back in the day. Like, so yoga is... it's old, it's an ancient old philosophy, and it was based on Patanjali scriptures. Patanjali was a sage that lived, I believe was like, I have no idea when, because the only reason why they know it's so ancient is because they have sculptures, they have things, artifacts that they found with a lot of these poses, right? Each pose has its name based on what they saw, what like animal or thing, or let's say back in the day, there was a lot of like war, or they would see a lot of like the warrior. So warriors usually tend to have that, you know, that arrow shooting.
Okay.
So if you see like warrior one, warrior two, it's because they were trying to shoot the arrow up in the sky to the side. You know, reverse warrior up in the air, up in the sky again. You have downward dog, where a lot of the dogs stretch. Cat, like all these different names, the basic ones I'm just mentioning
yeah.
to you. So King Arthur is just the same. Like a lot of these poses are based on that.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, until the warrior ones, I didn't really think about it because in jiu-jitsu, a lot of the warm-ups, mm-hmm. they're the same thing, bear crawl, or they're yes. very similar in animal movements
exactly.
named after kind of nature mm-hmm. and the philosophy of it.
Yes.
So that's why I was like, okay, but King Arthur's kind of more modern. That's mm-hmm. why I'm like, how did that name get on there? But I saw the yoga documentary on, what was it? The hot yoga guy. And he, I guess is like he's not allowed in the United States
yes.
now, but he on there. And I was very interested because they were yes. talking about, there's another book, mm-hmm. someone where he plagiarized basically mm-hmm. all his knowledge. And I've been wanting to get that book because
yeah.
I'm interested. And maybe that's what also turns off some people.
Yes.
There's some sort of spiritual mm-hmm. aspect to yoga. And
right.
I use the sound mm-hmm. healing bowls at the end. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a reason why some guys are like, oh, that's a woo-woo.
Yeah. I did use a sound bowl today to kind of... the sound bowl, I like to use it when there's a lot of noise going on, and I kind of tend to just take that noise out and just so they can focus on that noise specifically. Yes, you're right. I have had a lot of experience with that whole thing about yoga. where it becomes very spiritual. And a lot of the reasons is because our culture is still tied into a lot of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I'm Catholic, so I'm practicing yoga. Maybe I shouldn't, but I don't really go that deep. I don't try to, the most you're going to hear from me is maybe a bowl, but it's because of the same reason. There's a lot, we practice in an open space area. We don't have that, like, people are not there yet to kind of focus only on their breath. There's a lot of,
distractions,
mm-hmm. too much. So I'm wanting to bring that sound so they can just kind of hear that and stop listening to other noise so they can go back just to kind of meditate, kind of like just to stay in their body. Cause there's a lot of, sometimes we don't want to be in our bodies. Sometimes it's too painful. Sometimes the things that are happening in our head, we can't face, reality is too hard sometimes.
Right.
So that's where I'm coming from. Now, a lot of these poses are based on animals and, like I said, things, right? Or humans or warriors and all that. But there's also a Sanskrit name behind it. So Vidrakanasana or Adromukha, those are the Sanskrit names. I don't really involve them. Just because if they hear me saying those words, they're going to think,
associated with,
get with something that is not part of, you know what I'm trying to say? So then I stopped. I used to use it. I used to use Sanskrit in my practice. And then I kind of noticed less people were coming. I have had more people. It's just kind of, it's a wave. And every time I hear the same story, why they don't come to yoga. They say, no, our priest or our pastor is telling us not to do it. It's opening a door. I understand that. That's whatever you want to believe. But I also believe that I like to use it because I like to feel good with my body. I like the stretch part about it. I leave the whole philosophy behind it because it can. You can get there. You know what I mean? It's very easy to go in there and kind of get the philosophy and get really deep into the whole being a Buddha, being a Buddhist, you know, being in another religion, you can do that. But I try to keep that away and just focus more about the sport, where we're going to heal your body, your fascia, your muscles, your joints, learn about your body to the potential that you can use it and don't get, like, you won't get hurt as much when you, because this can be complement to another sport. That's my whole thing. Like, no, not just do yoga, do another sport. And it's so neat to be able to do this, the stretching, and then do boxing, for example. I love boxing.
Right. I've seen you go to boxing. Yeah. I think your kids go there too. Mm-hmm.
So I love that. I love to run, you know, or lift. And I don't remember the last time I got hurt. Honestly, I don't. And I don't know if it's because I'm doing a lot of yoga, but that's another thing, Ray, I wanted to tell you. Yoga was introduced to United States, like the Beatles did it. The Beatles brought it here.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but yoga is a philosophy. It's not the poses. What we did right here, right now, we did three things from that yoga thing. So yoga, it's the sutras of yoga. It's almost like a tree. And from that tree, we only did three things of a leaf. Like from a branch, there's three leaves. And we only did the asanas, which is the poses. We did a little bit of meditation at the end. And then we were supposed to do more breathing. I didn't teach you about the breath. But those are the three things that I teach only. I don't teach the other things. I would be here all day, the sutras, because like I said, yoga is a whole philosophy. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So yoga, it's all that. What we do basically is just asanas. It's just the poses. It's called yoga because everybody is easy to say yoga, but right. it's not the term to use. I mean, everybody uses that term, but it's not really yoga. It's just a lot of people are just going to do the asanas, the breathing, or meditation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everybody calls it yoga.
Yoga.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But it's not really.
It's not like the full practice of yoga.
Yes.
Hmm. That's interesting. I know that there's so many different yogas. Yes. I've worked at different gyms and they would encourage you to try different classes. So you know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And so I would hop in like as often as I could, because I would take other classes and do other things and take yoga. And then I started realizing that there's different types of yogas. Yes. And then I started realizing more about the philosophy types of yoga. Mm-hmm. And then I actually had an older show. You can go back and check it out. It's called Woo Woo Fitness. And we talk about how in modern day sports, people believe in superstitions and it's okay, but you won't practice yoga because you're going to be like, oh, it's woo woo. Mm-hmm. But there's Jason Giambi, former baseball player, would wear a golden thong and let his teammates borrow it. Juan Marquez would drink his own pee, a couple other. And those are superstitions that they'll practice. But
by the way, you know that pee is your blood?
Filter, your blood?
Yeah, it's your filter blood.
I've seen the Man versus Wild drink it.
Wow.
For survival, yeah. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I guess if I need to survive.
Right?
Yeah. This is a free to the community here at the yoga place?
So the only day I had them to pitch in, just, you know, I know if you know, it's today, like Saturdays is the only day that I say just a tip, it doesn't matter. But it's everything is free. It is based on, I still get, you know, my pay, my share, but and I will show you next time you come. I really would like to, this would be our first time here, but I would like for you to come back and show you where we are located, the center, the place. There's an office. There's offices there. It's SBCC. Mm-hmm. So it's South Bay Community Center.
Okay.
So this location is basically funded by Colleen. And she's ahead of all this, where there's also preschool without walls. They come here and they do, and it's everything is based, is free. So you have a community, everybody works their share. Like right here, you just saw one part of it. It's almost like yoga, you know, like there's little, everybody do, everybody does their own thing. And I would like for you to go and see it because there's so many ROMs to it that you can benefit. You know, there's also a teen,
well, I just like that idea right there of kindergarten without walls. So everything you learn is outdoors.
Yes.
Oh, that's
they're here.
Great.
They're here. They're every mom comes over and then they do their thing. They're seeing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because we have so much of just indoors all the time and it's nice to get out, get some fresh air, especially beautiful day like this.
Yeah, I know,
we have
I
such great
it.
Weather
yeah.
over here.
True. Yeah. So it's really interesting, but yes, I encouraged everybody just stop thinking so much about that that is going to give you that. Just say, you know what? I'm going to just stretch my body. Stop saying it's yoga, kind of. Mm. You know what I'm trying to say? And I'm trying to change that. Not that I'm going to, but just me here. It's very hard for me to always be posting and stuff because I'm busy. I'm a busy mom. I'm doing my thing. But when I get to people and I don't focus so much in the philosophy, I'm working more as in your body. Because this is a great tool that we have here. And if you don't have a moment for it, I feel like you're wasting it.
And I think the philosophy and it, I would say it's going to come in everything.
In everything.
As you start seeing progress mm-hmm. or feel better, you're going to want to start to better aspects of every little part of life.
Right.
So it all kind of trickles. So you don't necessarily have to teach the philosophy because as they start seeing like, well, what they're going to want to learn it on their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people who don't, I think will just probably quit.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said, don't focus so much about like, I mean, yes, keep going to church and don't tell your priest that I'm doing yoga. And maybe it's a bad thing that I'm saying that, but it's like, he doesn't need to know because I'm not teaching you about that stuff. I'm not coming here and telling you this DD, this thing, or like, let's do the beats, because they we also have like the chantra, the mantras, all that. I don't do none of that. I stopped because I wanted to take it to another. I wanted to just make it very simple.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to make it simple for our community. I wanted to make it for just to work on your tightness of your back or your muscles, where you're hurt. That's the most important part for me right now. Like, if you want to become another, that's another thing. But, you know, you can become, there's spiritual and there's people that are more, they have religion, right? So there's two different things. And I still believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I'm a very big believer in Jesus. I follow everything. I don't follow everything, but I believe what he said. You know, the golden rule too. I'm very big on that. Like, do to others what you want to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of good philosophy in there, and being Mexican American,
yeah.
and most because of, you know, what happened in Christianity and history. My mom's very religious. Mm-hmm. I have heard a specific prayer that she says, and it says not to practice yoga,
yeah.
not to practice Reiki. And not to practice, I forget what. And I've had conversations with her about it. Like, why does it say that? She's like, well, I don't even know what that is. I'm like, oh, let me explain to you what this is.
Yeah, it says it opens up. It opens up.
The doorway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like marijuana, basically, according to them. But, I mean, if they're opening up about UFOs and they should maybe modernize some other things.
Yes.
I'm not sure. That's a whole different thing.
We use lavender oil. Lavender.
I love lavender.
Yeah.
I use a lavender soap. Yeah, the lavender by I forget. It's supposed to be like 17 uses in one, but it smells good. It's supposed to be made out of hemp. The doctor doctor something.
Okay.
Really good soap with no chemicals.
Okay.
If you're into that.
Yeah.
But
we are. We need to use less chemicals.
Oh yeah.
Less chemicals is important. Endocrinology, like our hormones are getting bombarded with chemicals and
plastic,
especially plastic.
The plastic
is everywhere.
I always think about Starbucks, but every time I go and I get hot coffee, they put the little plastic thing, and I always get it because that plastic is melting with my hot coffee. So I bend the coffee thing and I break it off. So at least I have a top, but it's not melting more plastic into my drink. And they could just shorten those and probably make more money. I don't know, but there's so much plastic.
There's so much plastic everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. But I mean, we have to find a solution for that. What we can use instead of plastic? Like, what would you think? Like, I think glass is good, right? Or maybe everybody bring their own mug. You get a discount. I don't know.
I remember the first time I heard about the plastic issue, I was taking a photography class, and it was a guy from LA Times. And he spoke about it. He showed us pictures of all the plastic ending up in the bird's stomach in this island.
Horrible, right?
And then years later, some little kid came up with an idea. He was 13. Now he's older. And he's figured out a way to suck the plastic out of the ocean.
Right.
So if I can't think about it or figure it out, I know that there's other people who are, that's their journey in life or mm-hmm. something else. And I'm so glad that that little kid figured it out. And now they just need to start doing it. And
are you talking about this worm that eats plastic?
No,
it's another one.
It goes in the, basically our plastic ends up in the ocean, and it kind of spins into like a little tornado and ends in one specific island.
Okay.
So all the birds and animals there, when they're dead, they cut them open, and you can straight pull out bottle caps of sodas because they say that when they're in the water and they're looking down, when they go down, they don't know if it's a fish or a piece of plastic.
Right.
So they're just going and eating it, and then they end up dying.
I feel so bad. Yeah, animals are suffering. Humans are suffering. We're all suffering. I mean, we are, especially humans, I think we're suffering because you see a lot of illnesses now with people cannot lose the weight
mm-hmm.
because of that. You know, there's just too many things, but yeah, one of the other things that I try to encourage people at the end of the class, and this is just me that I do it. I talk about like what to eat, not to eat, or at the end, just be like, you know, enjoy your life, enjoy the moment, be grateful. It's very easy to get caught up in our head thinking, I don't have this, I don't have that. But look around you, all the things we do have. So at the end of the day, I do encourage people to think about those things, because it's easier to get lost in the negative than it is in being more positive, right?
That is for sure.
But I also want them to see the negative too. I'm not a big believer in be like, always positive. You know, I'm not your typical yoga teacher that it's going to be like, nothing is going to, yeah, you have your, I live in reality too. You know?
I like trying to combine
right.
The spiritual, the physical, and then the mental. I listened to, I always forget his name, but Andrew something, he's a professor at Stanford, and he talks about the neural, the way the brain works and everything.
Huberman,
yeah.
I listen to him
all the time. And so some of the things he talks about, I'm like, I try to combine it with the physical and the mental, and just, because it's all got to align in my opinion.
It is alignment. It is. And then you do sort of have that in you. So you're going to take that wherever you go, you're taking that with you. And people see it. Like people read on you whether you're not real or is there something, like if you're more into negative, people want to approach you. You know, or you can carry yourself like that, and then you can sabotage not only relationships, but maybe a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. Who knows? So you have to kind of be like, you know, maybe more into like, okay, I do realize there's this, these are negative parts of me that I can fix, or I can be, what can I do to fix this? But I also need to be a little bit more positive, or be more positive about my situation, right?
Yeah, I don't think that most people really talk about the effects that sports and working out have on you, as far as little by little, you start seeing things, noticing things. Even for me, the first time I completed a marathon, that opened up a part of my mind that said, if I could do this, what else can I do that I thought I couldn't do before? It was like limiting beliefs, and little by little through exercise, accomplishing something. It doesn't have to be competing. Mm-hmm. You just start feeling it, and then you start researching, and next thing you know, you're a yogi.
Exactly. No, you know what? That's the most, that what you just said there is great, because I almost forgot. Yes, I'll have a lot of people, and you notice that we're more into the, like, the midlife, like they're elderly. So a lot of these people are never moved their body like that. And they're like, I'm stiff. I don't even know what to do. And then I said, relax, listen, and just focus. We're going to do this. And they do a pose that they never thought they could do it, like ever. And that lifts up their, you know, your self-esteem. It gets boosted. You're like, oh, wow. Like, and that, you're right. Like, that opens up like something. And it's never too late. I mean, it will be.
I agree.
For some reason, but it, you know what I mean.
At the same time, you could see something lights up in them. They can hit that pose. But if you can't hit that pose, don't look at them, because then you're going to be like, how can they hit the pose? Yeah. And I can't. I'm exactly. All shaking. Yes. I can't even keep my balance on one foot.
Yeah. So that's what I would say, right? Like, and because we're based in a community, I don't have like a, this is more challenging, I think, because when you already have a studio, you already know that people are coming in.
Right.
You already know. So they have a membership, they're more on it, and you already know. When you have something, everybody's new or coming, sometimes you have different people, you don't know what you're going to get. So then I would say something like, don't discourage yourself. Don't compare yourself with anyone else. Just because they can do it and you can't, that doesn't mean you won't
be able to.
Yes, right. I said that. The thing is, they've been here way longer than you. And then I'll call out their names. You know, I call them. I call out their names.
You're known for that.
Yeah. I say, oh, you know, so-and-so-and-so has been here for this period of time. That's why they're able to do this. And things like that. And then they're like, okay, all right. Then, I mean, but you can be there, you know.
Well, what about for the people that are listening and live in LA and that will listen to this, if they want to do yoga with you?
Yeah.
Is it only for people who live in Wilmington, or can anybody do it, or how can they take part in your class?
Well, Yes. Well, it's people that live around here. They're welcome to come here if they live by. I mean, everybody's welcome, you know. And if they do want to come, I mean, they can just email me or get contact with me. I do have videos. Facebook, I do every Tuesday. But I also try not to, like, you know, make sure people are okay with it. Like I said, there are awkward poses. What are you comfortable with? You know, that what is it that your body can do? Start with the basics. And sometimes people get it to, like, our poses are so difficult. Today we did a little bit more difficult, but
oh, good.
I'm glad
you said that, because I'm like, yeah, man, it was pretty tough. And if it was an easy one, I would have been like, whoa.
I'll tell you why today was difficult, because it's a Saturday. So we practice the whole entire week. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So we're ready for, like, we practice all week. So it was Monday, it was Tuesday, Wednesday, and there are different locations here around the area that I teach. So they, a lot of people are, you know, they're like, okay, this is the last day. So it's a little bit more intense. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned your email, but what is your email for the people listening?
Okay. It's yz@gmail.com.
All right. So if anyone's interested in taking yoga with Ruby, part of the community, you can email her and she can get you the info. I wanted to thank you for taking the time letting me take part in the class.
Oh, thank you for coming.
We can show everybody more at maybe a different center.
Yes.
We will be doing one in Spanish for all the Spanish people as well. So thank you, Ruby, for joining. Till next time, Ruby.
Thank you.
Coach Ray.
Thank you.